Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. If you are looking for some pro wrestling in the next couple of days, lots going on. Tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. 3-2-1 battle here in our neck of the woods in Seattle, Washington. Supreme Wrestling in South Bend, Indiana. And USA Championship Wrestling happening in Gladeville, Tennessee. If you're looking for wrestling tomorrow night, you can find me at ABC Days in Tacoma, Washington at the Bethel High School. Later tomorrow night, I'll be at Combat Pro Wrestling in Marysville, Washington for their anniversary show. HPW, my old stomping grounds in Columbus, Indiana. MSW in Harrison, Arkansas. Heroes and Legends in Fort Wayne, Indiana. BCW in Raleigh, Mississippi. UWA in South River, New Jersey. War in Lima, Ohio. PPW in Abbotsford, British Columbia. New Wave Pro in Duggar, Indiana. And WrestleForce happening tomorrow in St. Matthews, South Carolina. Without further ado, I want to welcome our guest on. Let's bring him on. You can catch him tomorrow night as well as Sunday for Universal Championship Wrestling. And I would like to welcome back to the program the Wizard of Weird, Sin Bodie. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me. It's Warlord, not Wizard, slap nuts.
I like to think you're the Wizard. You're very Wizard-like in my eyes.
I am Wizard-like. I guess that's true. I'll take it. I've been called worse.
I'm sure. I mentioned you have the big match coming up tomorrow night for UCW. Want to tell the people a little bit about what you have going there in the next few days?
Yeah, there's a big old scary wrestler named Damian Legend, and this is going to be a no-holds-barred, anything-goes, no-DQ match. So we will see who is the better clown. I have a pretty good feeling money's on me. And the next night, I get to wrestle Johnny Swinger, who I have never, ever wrestled before, but I have known him for 175 years, give or take. So it will be fun to finally trade knuckle sandwiches and see what happens. Again, I'd like to think money's on the clown. But you'll all have to stay tuned and buy your tickets and come and check it out. And it's going to be a good time.
First time meeting with Johnny Swinger, and he's been around the business for a long time. He wrestled in the original ECW. He wrestled for WWE. He's been around the independents for a number of years. When you wrestle someone for the first time, and it's someone that you either personally have known for a long time or you've known them by reputation for a long time but never got into the ring with them, do you have a different viewpoint on wrestling someone like that for the first time versus, say, someone that's newer to the business that you may not have really come across?
Well, when you come across somebody that's newer to the business, you know, they are an unknown, so you do not know what they bring to the table, and you have to adjust and dance accordingly. With somebody like Swing, as a poop ton of experience, you know, I know what he is, I know what he does, I'm a student of the game, and, you know, I keep an eye on everything. But having that, so the element of a surprise is maybe out the window, but a wily vet can always, you know, pull something new into their wheelhouse. I know I do. and I know I will. So I think nothing less of Johnny Swinger. I think he's an amazing performer. I think he's a good dude, and I'm almost going to feel bad for what I'm going to do to him. Ta-da!
Now, coming up in the relatively near future, later this month, you're going to make another swing through our neck of the woods here in the Pacific Northwest. Always great to have you up in this area. I know you've been up here several times. What are your opinions of the professional wrestling scene here in the Pacific Northwest, just from what you've seen overall?
Well, Kevin Sullivan lives there, and he's one of the evilest cats in all of wrestling history. So I think that speaks for itself. I think, like everywhere, there's a lot of hungry up-and-coming wrestlers, and they all want to make a name off of your road beasts like myself, your road dogs, your road vets, whatever you want to call us, your road clowns, rodeo clowns, see what it did there. And so I'm looking forward to getting in the ring up in your neck of the woods.
Now, Kevin Sullivan is someone that I know fairly well. I've made many, many, many miles with him over the years. And he is someone that not only was a tremendous wrestler in his day, he has an absolutely brilliant mind for professional wrestling. I know you have been on countless shows with him. When you first encounter someone that has the experience and the knowledge and a lot of the similar viewpoints on professional wrestling like yourself, what's that first meeting like when you are staring eye to eye with Kevin Sullivan?
It's pretty daunting and pretty awesome. The first time I met Kevin Sullivan was at the Cauliflower Alley Club in Las Vegas. And soon after, I found myself in the ring with him. He was the special guest referee on Freaks Wrestling as Sin Bodhi wrestled Sin Simmons match. And I think I was flattered to have Kevin Sullivan say in all of his weird, wily, evil years, he had never, ever witnessed anything like that. So I will take that as a compliment. And so will my dog, apparently. And yeah, I think he's... we've been respectful of each other ever since. I think he appreciates my brain, and I certainly appreciate his. I think he appreciates my heart. I certainly appreciate his. And yeah, I mean, he's awesome. What's there not to like about one of the evilest men in pro wrestling history?
I definitely agree with you on that. There is another wrestler that you're very familiar with that has been making a lot of appearances here in the Pacific Northwest. He will reappear this week, as a matter of fact. He's on a card on Sunday. And I'm talking about Funny Bone. I know that you've had a lot of really big battles with Funny Bone over the last few years. What's your opinion on Funny Bone?
I think he's one of the best independent wrestlers going. He is very talented. He's got good ring psychology. He's athletic. He's got a heart, which just like at our school, Snake Pit in Las Vegas, you know, between all the different coaches, you know, all the different, you know, eras of WWE, you know, we've got, you know, WCW, ROH, New Japan, you know, Mexico. We've got it all covered, but we can't teach you heart. You got to bring that to the table, and he definitely brings that. So I always enjoy beating him up. He always makes it really fun.
What a lot of fans do not realize, and it's possible a lot of the people in the wrestling industry may not realize this, Funny Bone was actually trained in part by the late, great Nick Bockwinkel. When you look at Nick Bockwinkel's body of work, and you look at what Funny Bone does in the ring, have you ever seen a more diverse style of professional wrestling between teacher and student than perhaps exists between Nick Bockwinkel and Funny Bone?
Yeah, I think my dog doesn't like you talking about Funny Bone that much. I don't like talking about Funny Bone that much. I don't like Funny Bone that much. But I do think he's a great wrestler, and I think the wrestling coach in me can see where he was trained by Nick Bockwinkel. But yes, their characters are night and day different. And, you know, Bockwinkel didn't teach Funny Bone how to be a spooky character, and Funny Bone doesn't try to be an articulate, you know, businessman style wrestler like Bockwinkel, but I think he's got those fundamentals and that ground game and that ring psychology that Bockwinkel brings to the table. I know I always have to be on my toes around Funny Bone because he doesn't make it easy, and I wouldn't happen any other way. I don't want to wrestle somebody that's a glass jaw. I want to fight, and Funny Bone always brings a fight.
One of the other places that you will be appearing later this month is another old stomping ground of yours, OVW in Louisville, Kentucky. OVW has been through a series of major changes, mostly behind the scenes, in the last few years. I know you've been there fairly recently. What's it like when you go to OVW these days? I know they've had a lot of changes there over the years. You've been there at numerous points in their existence. What's it like right now?
I think OVW is a great wrestling show. It's owned by Al Snow, who I have a ton of respect for. OVW is where I got originally hired for WWE by Mike Bucci, Simon Dean, Nova. And so it's always been a near and dear place to my heart. Anytime I can go back there and pay it forward, it's my pleasure. And I think you'll see some great things, you know, the evolution of OVW. It is, I believe, the first, like, I'm trying to think of the right term here, but like the first, like, legitimate trade school that is, you know, by the government and by the decision makers of planet Earth have decided it is like a legit trade school, which I think is really, really cool. And I mean, they're doing combines and all sorts of crazy stuff. And I mean, they've got a weekly TV show. It's brilliant. Everything about OVW has always been ahead of its time, and I have no doubt it will continue.
Absolutely. They are accredited now by the Commonwealth of Kentucky. So it is, as far as the government concerns, a very legitimate trade school now. I know in professional wrestling, wrestling schools have been prolific over the last 15 to 20 years. It seems like you'll have a bunch open up and turn out mixed results at best as far as the talent they're turning out. It used to be much, much harder to find a professional wrestling school. You basically had to know someone in the business to even know where to go to find the school. When you look at the landscape of training schools now, do you think that it's a healthier landscape now than it was, say, between 2 and 5 years ago? Or do you think it's about the same, or do you think it's worse?
Well, I mean, you know, when I came up, and even, like, I'm not a back-in-my-day guy, but back in my day, and before my time, too, like, I mean, the coaches really, really brought it to you because they wanted to see if they could break in, see if you deserved to be in the business. Ron Hutchinson did not make it easy, and I'm glad he didn't. You know, he toughened you up and let you know, like, this is it's big boy time. And I think when I coach, I really try to, you know, not mama bear, not papa bear, but just right. If I coach too mean, I'm going to break you like a horse. If I coach you too light, I'm not going to give you what you need to, you know, to swim when somebody hires you and throws you in the deep end. So I think there's that, you know, that fine line of what's too much, not enough in this modern day landscape. You know, but I think nowadays is definitely friendlier than it ever has been. And not easier, but gentler, I suppose. I don't know. I'm trying to find a good word here to put it and not sound like Johnny from Cobra Kai. But I think, you know, like learning anything is, you know, you get in what you put out. So I think that's exactly that with wrestling.
You mentioned coaching yourself, and you do have that school down there in the Las Vegas area. Mm-hmm. When you started wrestling professionally, did you ever conceive of a day that you would be the one teaching the new crop of wrestlers, or did that come later in your career when it dawned on you that you might be good at making sure people knew what they were doing, knew how to be safe, and could turn out quality professionals?
You know, when I was a kid, my mom was a school teacher, but I never, ever thought about pursuing a career in any kind of teaching. As I started wrestling, I never thought about coaching or teaching. I don't think any wrestler does. I think you're just kind of looking, you know, all eyes on the prize kind of a thing. But, you know, as you log that mileage and you get that wisdom and so forth, and like, I'm in good shape. Like, I'm healthy. I'm in one piece. But at the same time, I'm older, wiser, and have, you know, new goals now. So, you know, I guess your perspectives and your opinions change, you know, depending on where in the landscape you're looking from. So, I mean, right now I think coaching is a smart play for me. Like, I love performing, don't get me wrong. It's my first love. But at the same time, I can't do that forever, you know, maybe for, you know, 1 year, 5 years, 20 million years. I don't know. But at some point, you know, I'm going to have to hang up the boots, and I certainly don't want to be stingy with my knowledge. I think when I came up, it was still sort of in that era when a lot of the old timers really wanted to hoard knowledge. And I think too, like a lot of young guys, they think they know it all and they don't want to hear anything. So I'm as a coach, I believe in being that bridge between like old school and new school and communication and finding the best of both worlds. I feel very much like Bruce Lee, man. I'm Jeet Kune Do. Anything is a weapon. Always keep open-minded. That's how I sort of view it.
One of the places that you wrestle regularly, of course, is the Freak Show promotion down in Las Vegas. Freak Show, one of the top promotions down there, but Las Vegas has really opened up in the last couple of years as far as promotions either being based out of there or promotions filming their national TV there, so forth and so on. What is it, do you think, made Las Vegas open up as far as wrestling promotions wanting to go there?
I think Las Vegas has always been a fight town, you know, whether it's boxing or MMA. I think pro wrestling is definitely is a big, big thing here for sure. And I mean, you know, it's a destination city. Who doesn't want to come and play in luxurious Las Vegas? And, you know, different shows come in. Some do better than others. And, yeah, I mean, really, who doesn't want to come play in Las Vegas? It's like adult kindergarten here. It's the halfway point between Disneyland and Sodom and Gomorrah. You can do whatever you want in Las Vegas. So why not pro wrestle?
Looking at Las Vegas's landscape, as someone that is based there, do you think that there's a proper amount of professional wrestling now in Las Vegas, or do you think that the market may be oversaturated, or do you think that there's room for even more professional wrestling there as far as what the market will bear?
I think, you know, whether it's Impact or WWE or AEW or ROH or whoever is coming into town, I think, you know, when they come into town for a one-off, you know, I think that's cool for the city for sure. I'm a fan of this game. You know, I watch all of those shows. I keep current on everything. And, you know, then as well, you know, the premier shows in Las Vegas, FSW and Lucha Libre Las Vegas, Freak Show Wrestling. You know, those are like the hometown companies. So I just look at it as if you're a wrestling fan, this is a great time. And I think when the bigger companies extend olive branches to local companies, I think that's always good etiquette and cool gestures. And, you know, I think more wrestling, the better. Why not?
Now, with the advent of a lot of these shows hitting the national airwaves, you have the brand new AEW, which debuted this week on TNT to very strong ratings. You have Impact going over to Access TV after their parent company bought that network. New Japan remaining on Access TV. WOW Wrestling doing very well on Access TV as well. And, of course, WWE. It seems like right now might be the hottest that professional wrestling as far as a national level has ever been. Do you recall a time since you've been in the business where it seems like it might be most advantageous for someone to get a spot with one of the national companies?
I think the best and short answer is the time is now. I think never has there been a better time. You know, there's not just two rival companies. There is a bunch of companies, and I think this is the best time for fans. This is the best time for wrestlers, and I think it's pretty wonderful.
Agreed. Now, for someone that is thinking about getting into wrestling, based on how hot pro wrestling is right now, if they're on the fence about wanting to train or maybe just remaining in the seats as a spectator, what's your best advice for someone that is considering getting their wrestling as a career?
Find a school that is reputable and be prepared to, you know, travel to get to that school. Be prepared to spend a few bucks. You know, you get what you pay for and all that jazz. Be prepared to pay some blood, sweat, and tears. You know, some people scoff at the term pay your dues. Some people thoroughly endorse that term. You know, I just think just work hard. You know, like there's not some checking point of what you owe anybody or what you owe yourself. I think you get in what you put out, and paying those dues is almost an internal thing. I think like just knowing, hey, I've got a, you know, this much blood, this much sweat, this much tears, that is what my dreams are worth. And you just have to ask yourself, what are your dreams worth to you? Finding a school that is going to facilitate those dreams, that's the trick. Thoroughly, of course, I'm going to endorse the snake pit here in Las Vegas. I mean, you got Sin Bodhi, D'Lo Brown, Disco Inferno, Jake the Snake, Kenny King, Ki Kitaro, sometimes TJP, once in a while Daivari. I mean, and then you have all sorts of wonderful seminar guests. Like we just had Simon Gotch in, we've had Hurricane Helms, and just the list goes on and on. Gangrel, Ricky Steamboat, Jimmy Hart, Al Snow, you name it. Like, so many guys have come through our doors. And I mean, if you're a pro wrestling student, like, here it is, come get it. You know, a lot of wrestlers sometimes once they learn how to do a flip or something, they figure they know everything. But you can take a wrestler to water, but you can't make them drink. But if you are thirsty, the snake pit is here waiting for you.
At this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has a few questions as well, so I'm going to pass you over to QT for a bit.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Mr. Bodhi.
Hello, sir.
Mr. Bodhi, I'd like to start out with our Turnbuckle Turmoil segment, switch over from Sign Guy to QT, with a very rare bring on the choice, bring on the funk to start your questioning. Are you ready for this rare bring on the choice, bring on the funk, where you have
bring
to make
it.
A choice between two subject matters?
I'm ready. I'm ready to make some choices.
All right. Drop toe hold or crippler crossface?
Crippler crossface.
Oh, okay. Crippler crossface. Now, and I'd like to inform our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners that I am going to use your choices and also ask this bring on the choice, bring on the funk to our next guest that we have, Paul Moonshine, and compare your answers on the first ever comparison. Bring on the Toys, Bring on the Funk. It'll be the first time. So you're part of an experiment. It's the first time ever.
Fair enough. Wouldn't be the first time. I'm ready.
Okay.
Experiment away.
Single leg takedown or ankle lock?
Ankle lock.
Okay, ankle lock. I'm putting check marks by your choices. Okay. Scottish kilt or a three-piece Armani suit?
Kilt. Kilt or be kilt.
Okay. Yeah, kilt. Ooh. Okay. Lipton iced tea or freeze-dried Sanka?
Sanka.
Sanka. Okay, very good.
I'm a caffeine guy.
Caffeine. You're a caffeine guy. Okay. Friends or Big Bang Theory?
My parents love Big Bang Theory, but I'll go with Friends.
Very good. Okay. Who is your favorite character on there? Just curious.
Hey, when Rachel finally kissed Ross, man, I shed a tear.
I'm going to put that down. Okay, when Rachel kissed Ross. Rachel kissed Ross.
And as far as wrestling careers go, I mean, I am your smelly cat, so what the heck?
Wow! This is he. Okay, I'm going to ask Paul Moonshine for a quote. Okay, very good. Okay. Scott Steiner or
Paul
Booker
Moonshine
T?
Couldn't lace my bunny boots. It's not going to make a difference what he says.
Oh, my God. Okay, we've got controversy brewing here right now, sign guy. I'm Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. This is huge. Once again, Paul Moonshine could not lace
your boots. Sin Bodhi's bunny slippers.
Oh, bunny slippers, right. Okay. Oh, boy, those are very strong words. Okay. Bunny. Well, yeah, Paul Moonshine has been showing a dark side of himself lately. A dark side. A more vicious side. Yes. Okay.
Maybe he's been eating too many blueberries. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. All right.
That was a poop joke.
Scott Steiner. Oh, I think we did. Scott Steiner or Booker T?
That's a good one. Could I just go with Shockmaster?
Oh, you're going to opt? Okay, opt for Shockmaster. Okay, opt.
Just when you think I'm going to zig, I'm going to zag.
Wow, Shockmaster. Okay.
I wrestled Scott Steiner. I've never wrestled Booker T, which I would love to do that.
Oh, okay. Well, sign guy himself.
And Shockmaster for that part. For that matter, why the hell not? I would like to have a promoter is listening out there. If they could book me in a three-way with Booker T and Shockmaster, I'll do it for free.
For free. Okay, you've heard it here on the Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Just get me there, promoters. Just get me there. Make it happen.
Wow, that is huge. Okay. All right.
If there's any billionaire wrestling fan that wants to see that match, then let's go.
Wow. Fantastic. Okay. All right. Leapin' Lanny Poffo or Coco Beware?
Oh, geez. That's another. Both of those guys are near and dear to my heart. Man, as not to offend. Boy, oh, boy. Ooh. Well, maybe I'm going to go with Coco Beware.
Ooh, very nice. Okay. Okay.
I've wrestled and tagged with and been managed by Coco Beware, and I've only hung out with Lanny Poffo. I would like to throw frisbees at Lanny Poffo. I think that would be a lot of fun.
You would like to throw frisbees at Lanny Poffo?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, okay.
I would like to put Lanny Poffo in a dunk tank and throw frisbees at the little target. Frisbees with his poems on it.
Wow. Well, that would be like at a county fair. They usually have them at county fairs. Yeah.
Yes, I would love to do that.
Wow.
Maybe
all
on
right.
The same night that I wrestle Booker T and Tugboat in a three-way match with Coco B. in my corner and Lanny Poffo on a dunk tank on the other side.
Man, that would be.
Now you all of you listening, now you kind of get an idea of how my brain works.
Yes. Wow. Oh, man. Okay. Stan Marsh of South Park or Linda Belcher of Bob's Burgers?
I'm going to go with South Park.
Okay. Stan Marsh is very, yes, he's iconic throughout the years. Okay. Front chin lock or mandible claw?
Mandible claw.
Okay, mandible claw. Okay. Camel clutch or front face lock?
Camel clutch.
Camel clutch, okay. Fast
Camel
times
man,
at Ridgemont.
Zoom it.
Fast times at Ridgemont High or Caddyshack?
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, okay, very good. Okay.
Yes. If Coco Beware is not available to manage me, then I would like that gopher from Caddyshack to manage me.
The gopher, yes. Boy, that exploding scene
or Bill
near
Murray.
The end.
Oh, or Bill Murray and the gopher.
Yes, Bill Murray. When, you know, he snuck up on that gopher, and he had flashbacks of the Vietnam War.
Yeah, yes. Can you hear that go? I said the word gopher, and now my little dog's losing her mind. Like, she thinks I'm promising or something. And if I'm going to wrestle, you know, if I'm going to wrestle Tugboat and Booker T in a three-way, then, you know, having Bull Murray and the gopher and Coco Beware in my corner will be wonderful because I'll need all the help I can get.
Well, now what's the name of your dog that I heard in the background?
Her name is Mochi. Mochi John Cena Galactus Pizza Pants is her name.
Wow. And what kind of breed is this dog?
She is a pit Wawa.
Ooh, a pit. Okay. Wow.
Well, she's like half Chihuahua, half pit bull. So she's this weird little like, I swear she's made out of antimatter because she looks like she's about 5 pounds, but she weighs like 30 pounds. It's ridiculous. She steps on you, it's like having a piano dropped on you.
Say if your dog could face the gopher from Caddyshack in a Hell in a Cell match, how fast could she beat the gopher? Yes.
Oh, that gopher would do the job to Mochi in seconds. She is a beast.
Oh. So you predict the
it would
gopher
be a squash match. It would totally be a squash match.
Wow, that is okay.
Mochi over.
That's
for
fair.
Sure. Mochi over, no doubt.
Oh, okay. All right. Wyatt Earp or Billy the Kid?
Oh, that's another good one too. I like both those cats. I'm going to go, my anarchistic side says I'm going to go with Billy the Kid.
Right, Billy the Kid, who died when he was 21 years old. Okay. All right. Neil Peart or Neil Cavuto? Neil Peart being the drummer of Rush. Yes.
Or who?
Or Neil Cavuto. I believe he's a Fox anchor person. Neil Cavuto, a political thing, junkie. Neil Cavuto, political commentator.
Since Rush are snow Mexicans, as am I, I'm going to go with Rush.
Oh, very good. Okay, Rush, Neil Peart.
Newscasters always just have bad news anyway. Who wants to listen to newscasters? They're always just talking about bad news.
I hear that. Boy, yes. Okay. John Wayne Gacy or Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker?
John Wayne. All the John Waynes.
Okay, John Wayne. Okay. And the last one, OVW or Ring of Honor?
OVW.
All right, OVW. Okay. Now that concludes our Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. I'd like to reiterate to our listeners that there are no right and wrong answers or choices. And for the first time, Mr. Bodie, you are going to be compared with Pa Moonshine, who is on our show on Sunday, and we will compare the answers and tell Paw Moonshine what you chose. This is going to be huge.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, Mr. Bodie, I saw your YouTube video entitled OBW Empty Arena Match, Anarchy Title, Sin Bodie versus Shiloh Jones. The OBW wrestlers were surrounding the ring. My question is, do you know if Shiloh Jones won a stipulation match to defend the OBW title? How did he come to defend this title, the belt that he had slung over his shoulder before your match?
How do you mean, how did he come to defend the title? He's the champ, and I was the contender, and that was that. And we would have done it in front of the fans, but unfortunately, the brilliant airline that I was flying on landed me 7 hours late. So they tried to hold the show as long as they could, but it was getting too late, and Al Snow had put on as many impromptu dark matches as he could. So we didn't want to disappoint the fans, so we did the that boiler room style empty arena match, and I think it was a really fun match, and I think all the fans that got to see it on TV were very happy and entertained. For me, it's very important to not disappoint the fans, so I was completely livid that the idiot airline, you know, just couldn't get us humans to where we needed to go on time. But hopefully it turned out and people liked it.
Oh, can you tell Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what airline that was so we can avoid it?
Say that again.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what that airline was so we can avoid this airline?
It was Frontier.
Oh, Frontier. Oh, they suck. Yes. I tell you what, if I ever book a flight on Frontier, I'm going to post one of your 8x10 glossies on the airplane, like right near the lavatory in protest, and say, Sin Bodie says you better. Yes, I'll do that.
Please do. Please do.
All right. Well, Mr. Bodie, at the 1:17 mark, as you made your entrance, you lit your firecracker tie on fire. My question is, are there any truths to the rumors that the Secret Service is surveilling you because you sent one of these firecracker ties to Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi?
I wish that was true, but I really could be bothered with decision makers. I find them to be ill-equipped.
Yes.
And seeing as they have access to, men with badges and guns, I don't want to mess with them.
Wow. Okay. Well said. Very
I'll
good.
I'll save my firecracker tying for the wrestling ring.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Bodie, you finally stepped into the ring at the 6:01 mark after brawling with Shiloh outside the ring. This included the use of steel chairs, a hula hoop, and an electrical cord, and a broken table. Is that some sort of record at OVW? And if so, are you yourself going to demand that the OVW commissioner put up a record board with your name and Shiloh's as the longest outside of the ring action to start a match?
I'll take it. I like being the first. I like being original. I'm always flattered when other wrestlers do stuff that I do. I would just enjoy that they maybe, you know, reference where they got it when they swipe it. And, you know, I'm sure I won't be the first one to do that or other things. And I know that happens all the time to lots of different wrestlers and just across planet Earth. But does make it right. So, again, that's maybe why I pick OVW over ROH, because maybe some of those clowns think of something original.
Well,
and if
I
you want me to not be ambiguous and say names, I'll say Beer City Brawler and Vincent. Oh, hey, boys. Hey, schmucks. That's what I'll say about that. Because I'm transparent, and when I say things and when I think things, I mean them for everyone. So I'm not a, well, I don't like this guy or I don't like that guy, but she didn't hear it from me. I am a man's man. I'm a clown's clown. I'm a wrestler's wrestler. And I calls it like I sees it. And I think if you want to swipe a spot, be my guest. Just put over where you got it. You know, that's all. That's all. That's what I got to say about that.
Well, Mr. Bodhi, with your frankness and your straight shooting, if you ever did run for public office, I would vote for you. Yes. I'm going to put that
thanks.
Out there.
Thanks. I appreciate that. My dogs appreciate that as well.
Okay. All right. Very good. You see, Mr. Bodhi, I myself just like the look of record boards and record holders. And I think, you know, if there was a record board put up at OVW, your name as one of the longest outside of the ring actions to start a match, 6 minutes and 1 second would look mighty good. Like,
I'll take
like
it.
Being pulled over the ring. That would be very nice.
I'll take
okay.
It.
But you'd have to share that mark and that record, the posted record with Mark Shiloh. Yes, you'd have to share.
Okay. Happy to do it. He was a really tough guy, a hard-hitting performer, and I really enjoyed being in the ring with him. I like when guys bring their A-game, and he definitely did.
Well, now talking about bringing his A-game, at the 6 minute and 18-second mark, Shiloh himself placed a garbage can lid on your chest. You were lying
think,
in the ring.
I don't
ring.
Think Mochy liked you talking about Shiloh so much, I'm just saying.
Oh, well, you tell her that if I ever visit your humble abode, I will give her a beef-flavored induced dog biscuit. Yes.
Will do.
All that is a milk bone, and you pour beef base, which is kind of soup base. You make up a broth with that, and you put it over the milk bone, and you refrigerate it overnight. Yes.
Delicious.
Okay. Oh, dogs love them. Dogs love them. Okay. Yes. Well, but anyway, at that seminal mark of the match, he put a garbage can lid on your chest, handle up, and then he climbed to the top turnbuckle, and he took flight at the 6 minute and 26-second mark, but you raised the lid to a vertical base. And I'd like to encourage all our listeners to freeze the video at precisely the 6:26 mark because Shiloh is spread-eagled in the air about 2.5 feet above the lid, and he is coming down fast. My question is, after the match, did Shiloh become a spokesperson for in vitro fertilization?
Well, I think, I watch a lot of House, but I'm not a medically licensed doctor, so I can't say, but I'd like to think I turned him from an Audi to an Innie.
Oh, boy, yes, the way he had that impact on that lid. Yeah, okay, I think you're right. Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Bodhi, at the 10-minute and 26-second mark, Shiloh Jones hit your right hamstring with a baseball bat. And at 10:42, he took to the air again with the baseball bat, but something went wrong upon landing. I myself could not ascertain what went wrong in the video. Can you tell me how you got possession of the baseball bat and why Shiloh fell backwards upon landing with his back bowed in a C shape and his hands on his face in pain? What went wrong?
I remember Shiloh trying to Tonya Harding me, but I don't remember a whole lot more. I just remember I probably saw red and, you know, then Shiloh found himself on the wrong side of my mood and boom, bada bing, and I'm your anarchy champion. So there you have it. Ta-da.
Hey, I know. Yeah.
Sometimes the matches bleed together to me, and it's no offense to the matches or the wrestlers. I remember Shiloh being a really, really talented, tough competitor. And I do remember hitting him with lots of things and getting hit with lots of things. I do remember turning his Audi into an innie with a trash can lid. I remember that. That made me giggle. Yeah, the broad strokes, I remember things very much like a dog on instinct. I remember I was happy, mad, sad, embarrassed, relaxed. And I just remember that was a really fun match. And I remember, I remember I was just very, very, very stressed about disappointing fans because my flight had gotten in so late. So those are the main things that I remember about that match. But if you guys want to check it out on YouTube, if you go to Freak Show Wrestling and scroll down on my page, it's there for you to hopefully enjoy.
Well, I did enjoy where you grabbed the bat and you returned the blow to the back of his leg at the 10 minute and 52 second mark, and your blows continued. You had one at the 10:57 mark, the 10:59 mark, the 11:03 mark, the 11:04 and a half mark, the 11:13, the 11:18, and finally the 11:23 mark. That is 8 baseball bat strikes in 31 seconds. Again,
sounds
would
like
you like to see the statistic on a record board? 8 baseball bat strikes.
Yeah, I think I would. It's kind of how you read it off. Kind of sounds like a bus schedule, but yeah, I'll take it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Bodie, I came across some high school sayings that you put in yearbooks that the seniors make with their senior photo, and some of them are like this. One guy said, "All pizzas are personal pizzas if you try hard enough." And a girl said, "A lot of girls didn't like me this year, but their boyfriends did." And then one foreign exchange student said, "I'm that Nigerian prince that keeps emailing you." And then one guy wrote, you can catch a lot of flies with honey, but you can catch more honeys being fly.
Fair enough.
My question is, I plan to start a yearbook with OBW with certain years and having everyone's photo posted in them with a saying. Do you believe I can talk to the OBW commissioner and get this yearbook and quotes going? Do you think that would go over?
I think so. I think that'd be great.
In 2019, what would your quote be with your wrestling picture? What would your quote be?
Oh boy. Maybe let's go with Shiloh Jones here, and I would say, "I'm going to turn your Audi into an innie."
Oh! very good. "I'm going to turn your Audi into the innie." Okay. I'm going to ask the same question to Pa Moonshine. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Mr. Bodie, again, it's been a very good interview with you. I hope we can do this again. And at this time, I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy.
Sounds good.
Thank you, QT. Well, Sim Bodie, I mentioned that you were going to be back here in the Pacific Northwest in a few days, and you are coming in. It's a joint effort, I believe, between Northwest Pro Wrestling and NGW Northwest. Do you have any intel that we can share with the fans about what you'll be doing once you get up here?
Yeah, I believe in the evening I'll be wrestling Ron Von Hess, and in the daytime I believe I will be tagging with Coach Mike Jones. And if you want all the details for the shows, please go to my Facebook. It's Sinbodhi, one word, Sinbodhi, as is my Twitter and my Instagram. And that those three social medias have all my show infos. Mochi doesn't like me talking about that so much, but it's all there for all the wrestling fans to check out.
as someone that has wrestled Von Hess multiple times, I would like to warn you to watch your eyes. He loves to go to the eyes. It's his go-to. He loves gouging eyes. It's his passion in life.
He might like to go to the eyes, but I like to go to the A's, the B's, the C's, the D's, the E's, the F's, and everything all the way to the Z's.
You might need just that. One more question I'm curious about. You happen to know the Kearney language, which is something that professional wrestlers used to use on a very frequent, very regular basis. Generations ago, it is sort of a dying art form. Not a lot of people here in the Northwest use it. Not a lot of people understand it or can speak it. Just
That's
a handful of us, I believe. You, of course, not only know it, you can use it and understand it. Do you think that speaking and understanding Kearney is something that wrestlers should be taught how to do, or do you think that it's something that has passed the business by at this point?
I think if you can speak, you know, in a super sneaky secret language, I think that's a bonus for pro wrestling, but I don't necessarily know that it needs to be Kearney. I think it's always an advantage, you know, when you can speak a different language than your opponents. That way you could talk to your tag partners, you know, whether the, you know, the Usos are talking to each other and then all the other dudes don't know what the heck they're talking about, or maybe Imperium's talking German and nobody else has an idea of what the heck they're talking about, so they can understand each other, but their opponents can't. So I think that's very clever. I think same thing with Kearney, but, you know, anything to have an advantage over your opponents, I think is a good idea.
Agreed. Well, we're getting down to the last few minutes of our program today, and I want to make sure you have ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you would like, the upcoming dates, social medias, merchandise, the school, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Yeah, to see me on upcoming shows, if you are interested in watching me wrestle, I would love to perform in your town for the favorite promotions of yours. So please tag your promotions that wherever you want to see me, please tag. And as far as just wrestling tips and advice, being a coach and being, you know, an experienced pro wrestler, I believe it's my privilege of, you know, and duty to hold on a second. Hey, kid, I'm doing an interview. Don't make me suplex you. I don't care. Go to the bedroom and talk to your mom. That's right. Yeah, my stepkid just got schooled on a podcast. That's right. Anyway,
he was clever enough to appear on said podcast very subvertly.
Yes. Yes. What I would like to touch about super quick is just, you know, as they say, oh, there's nothing truly original in wrestling or in anything else. Nah, you know, maybe not. But at the same time, trying to be as original as possible is a cool thing, and I think a creatively noble thing. So, you know, for all the wrestlers out there, like, you know, definitely, I've definitely got a long laundry list of people that I was influenced by, but I didn't just try to be a bargain basement version of any of those guys. I tried to borrow little itty bits and pieces and morph and mold those things into my own, coupled with so many other different influences, you know, plus, God forbid, original thought, and, you know, to become the unique performer that I am. And I think any performer can do that. You know, and simply when you do swipe something, just put it over where you got it. You know, I think the original performer would be flattered. It would be useful for that original performer. And, you know, just good karma and good etiquette kind of goes a long way. You know, nobody's owed anything. It's not anything like that. It's just kind of a cosmically cool thing to do, you know. So there you go. Don't be a schmuck. There's my closing words.
Well, Sim Bodhi, I want to thank you once again for being here with us. We appreciate it greatly, and I look forward to seeing you on the 12th. I believe I will be at both of those shows where you'll be appearing here in the Northwest, so you might get a little tired of me
Sounds
by the time
good.
Everything's said and done.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I don't get tired of wrestling at all. That weekend, just like every weekend, is a super busy weekend for me. Just about every weekend. I try to fill my days of planet Earth with lots of pro wrestling. But that weekend, October 11th, I'll be in Cocoa Beach for Atomic. I will be in Seattle the next day doing multiple shows. And then the following day, I will be in Salem for WCWC. So it's going to be a fun Friday, Saturday, Sunday for your Warlord of Weird. And I cannot wait to see all of you wrestling fans. And for everybody who wants to see me at other shows, please tag the shows you want to see me at.
All right, fans. Definitely, if Sin Bodhi is going to be near you, buy yourself a ticket. I think you're going to enjoy him if you're not familiar. And at this point, you should be familiar with Sin Bodhi if you're a professional wrestling fan. Well, get out there, support Sin Bodhi and what he does. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon with the previously mentioned Paul Moonshine as we kick off Moonshine Month here on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Get out there, support your local independents wherever they may be, and we'll talk to you Sunday.
Thanks for having me.